Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Real sport guy. People's Radio. It's RSG up in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Anne Hoops. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will. The Ill Executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil T, the sport, PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page, Eric Hamilton.
RSG fan is like, woo!
Now, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
It don't get no better than this, baby.
I want winners. You guys act like it.
Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile.
Anybody can be beat.
Don't get no more realer.
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys, RSG Renegade Radio. I'm your game changer. We got an addition to Hustle and Flows. My man Sekou is in the house. How you doing, man? Am I coming through pretty clear?
You are good. I'm good. I'm in a good mood. I poured a little Jack right before this. Celebrate this Knicks W over the hated Boston Celtics. So, yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right. Good energy then. Good energy. 2022, we're going to bring it in right. Our first show of 2022. Yeah. It's been a minute since we've been able to connect with you. Both of our schedules are super hectic right now. Just trying to get through this whole little pandemic situation, you know. It's still with us. It's still here. So
it's wild. As we speak, I am in day 5 of quarantine. So I'm in the thick of it right now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just Omarion out here. Omarion ain't playing. You can have a booster. You can have a vaccine. It'll run up on you no matter what.
Yeah, man. Everyone I talk to now is, you know, for a while it was, you know, everyone was good. Now everyone's got it or somebody knows somebody who got it. Man, it's a pandemic. So, you know,
yeah.
Settle in. But that's why we're here to help take your mind off that for a few minutes.
Yeah, we're gonna give you 45 minutes of joy real quick as we dig into Sekou's hip hop year in review. He does this annually. You know, breaks down the year in hip hop albums. Gives you his top albums of the year. Amazingly formatted. You can look it up and catch it on RSG RealSportsGuys.com. We got it posted up there. Also, check out our Twitters, Sekou. Check out his Twitter. Check me out, Game Changer RSG on Twitter. We both will tweet it out. So you can check that out. It just kind of gives you a quick synopsis and a excellent rundown of the best music to come out in the past year, hip-hop music to come out in the past year. So we're going to dig into
that. In my humble opinion. Yeah, in my humble opinion. Add that caveat, because I'm sure reasonable minds can disagree, but the debate is really the primary reason for the list, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Debate is where the joy is. Man, it's been a minute since we didn't talk. The Bucks won a championship. The new season has started. COVID then ran through everybody's squad. It's been hard to get into this season because of that. I think even more than previous years, like the last two seasons where COVID impacted it, this season has been even harder. One, because I'm busier, because in my community we're doing sports in the high schools again, and I coach. So last year we weren't, and so I wasn't able to – I was very much open to just following other sports. So this year I'm a little bit less locked in on the league. Even then, it's just been hard to follow because it's just like mass units, man. It's more interesting to follow the 10-day contracts, see who they dust
off. Well, I mean, it's given us some gems. It's given us Lance Born Ready Stevenson. He's back in the league. There's a lot of guys back in the league playing that I'm just excited to see, knowing full well if we weren't, you know, with COVID, these guys wouldn't be in the league. But it's been good.
Yeah. And what's crazy is they'll be on one squad, you know, they'll get called up and they'll get, you know, their first debut in one squad. And then, like, when their 10 day is up, they're, like, really, like, on another squad.
Yeah. Just really pack your bag. Like, don't unpack that bag. My situation, right, since we recently moved from Texas to North Carolina. And so we're building a house down here, and until that house is built, we're just renting a townhome. And so it's me, my wife, our two kids, and my wife's parents in a pretty, you know, small townhouse, right? We're on top of each other. So getting to know each other real well. So my father-in-law watches basketball every night. Every night he's sitting down. We got the full NBA package. I got price gouged by the NBA to get, like, the full ticket plus the NBA TV package, because you get the full package, but if the game's on NBA TV, you don't get the game, which is just the stupidest thing. In any case, so he's like ESPN right now, because he'll just be like, oh, yeah, Isaiah Thomas, he's not on that team. He's on this team now. I'm like, what? How are you? He's like, oh, yeah, yesterday he was, you know, because he's sitting down and watching all these games. He's giving me updates, and I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm sure. I saw him play yesterday. Like, okay, what's his name? Greg Monroe is back in the league? I was like,
yeah.
I think he must have. No, it's Greg Monroe. I'm like, oh, okay. So every morning he's giving me he's up till like 1 o'clock in the morning watching these games, the West Coast games. He's giving me the rundown.
Yeah, I can't wait till I get to that point in life. Yeah, I can't wait till I get to that point in life where I can just ride out watching games.
Called retirement, bro.
Yeah.
It's called retirement. You get there, you just
I
like,
know,
hey,
I know.
I ain't got work in the morning. What am I going to sleep for?
Yeah, what am I sleeping for, man? Let me enjoy every minute. So, yeah, man. The Knicks, how you feeling about them?
Oh, they are wonderfully mediocre. But what I'll say is at the beginning of the season, they were hyped. They got off on a fast start, 5-1. Kemba was cooking. Fournier was cooking. Everything was – I was like, oh, man, you know. I mean, the Knicks Twitter was on fire about, can we challenge for the top three seed, you know. Then it kind of fell down to earth. There are a lot of things I like about this team, but there are a few things that really, I really, really don't like. And it's weird to say this on a day when the man scored 41 points. Evan Fournier on my team, having to root for Evan Fournier every game is just not an experience that I ever want to have again. It's the worst. I mean, he is just maddening. And he's only been there 30 games, and every Knicks fan is like, get this guy out of here. We signed him to a 4-year contract, so he's not going anywhere. So the team is flawed in some very obvious places, but they still got the young guys. Their core, when they're going, the bench unit, so quickly, top in. Now they got Grant. They got, like, exciting guys. So I enjoy watching them. But they're going to lose some ugly games. Like, they were on the cusp of losing to the Celtics. They were down 25. Well, they just can't score. And so it's going to be interesting. We're going to be like a 10 seed. We might not make the playoffs. That's fine. But I still love the team. But they are not good.
Yeah. Fournier is a weird dude. When he's not on your team, you think he can help your team because you look at his numbers.
Yes.
And he's always got decent numbers. The thing about him is, though, no fan base ever, like, pines for him, like, oh, we need Fournier back. We were so stupid for trading Fournier. But we were so stupid for how we signed him. Nobody ever says that when he leaves.
That's right. Orlando Magic fans really tried to warn Knicks fans, like, y'all, I know what you're thinking. It's not what you think. It's not what you think it's going to be. We're like, nah, man. Well, you know, he can make his own offense. We saw him play the French National. We saw him play in the Olympics. Like, now we're good. We're like, okay. 10 games in. They were like, see? We're like, yeah. I've never – it's hard to say this about a professional athlete. And all props to him. He's a nice dude. He's embraced being a New Yorker. But I don't think I've ever seen him run full speed. Not a single time. I've watched every single Knick game. I have never seen him sprint full speed a single time. And it's the most incredible thing. I was like, this man is trotting around a basketball court like it's all good. Like he's all good. So, yeah. Yeah, how you feel about your Bucks?
We just got to stay healthy. That's what it boils down to with this team this year. When they're healthy, they're tough. I don't know if they are as equipped as they were last year to make the run that they made. We need somebody to play that PJ role where it's like a tweener wing who's a good defender and gives you just enough offense because that saves Middleton from having to guard the opposing team's best wing scorer. Like if we go against the Nets, like we don't have anybody who can guard KD other than Giannis, and I don't know if we want to do that for a whole game. So, because Timmy Ojeleye ain't it. Rodney Hood ain't it.
No.
I don't know who else they throw at KD, but I don't think they have anybody else that would be worthwhile throwing at a KD. My 2022 wish list is Thad Young, and Thad Young. I don't know if we got anything that San Antonio wants, but that's the guy that I would love to see come to Wisconsin and jump in a Bucks uniform. I think he is exactly the type of dude that they need, but I don't know if they got any sort of thing that's in it. Like Dante DiVincenzo, I don't think is gonna pique San Antonio's interest at all.
It wouldn't
unless
be mine.
They got a buyout.
I would say Thad Young is not. I mean, San Antonio is not buying him out. They're gonna milk every last drop out of him.
Got a lot of value.
Yeah, but there are guys like that come available at the trade deadline. Like that, if that's the key, we need a good defensive wing scorer and someone that's not gonna. Man, those dudes come available. You're going to find that.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, yeah. we need a point guard. You know what I mean? Like, that's the Knicks problem. It's like, hey, we need a starting point guard. It's like, well, that's going to be a little harder to find. So, yeah. I think y'all going to be all right.
The other
Giannis
thing
looks like
is a big man in case Lopez is cooked.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a bad back, and he's up there in age, and we all know when your back goes at a certain age, it ain't coming back. It's like
not
the scene in Harlem Nights where Jimmy gets on the phone and he's met Sunshine and he's like, yeah, put your mother on the phone.
Tell your mama.
Tell her I ain't coming back no more.
I'm not coming back.
Take it easy. That's how your back is when you get our age, man. And it goes when it goes out, it's not coming back through those doors.
Yeah, you have the doctor just sit down and be like, hey, your back will be fine as long as you don't, like, jostle it too much. You're like, wait, what?
Right.
Jostle it? Like what? Like running, jumping? Okay. Well, I'll be swimming
out of bed
and playing golf
fast.
The rest of my life, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's dig into the list, man. Just kind of give people kind of your frame of mind when you wrote it and kind of the thematic kind of vibe you were going as you were thinking things through as you were working through the year in music.
Yeah. So this was probably the toughest review I've had to write in years. For whatever reason, and I talk about this at the top of the list, I just couldn't kind of figure it out. Sometimes I do, you know, really deep themes. Like I'll think about it for like 2-3 months, and I'll feel like, all right, you know, each team's a conference, and each album represents, you know, a power five, and, you know, and I try to draw the, and it normally comes together, and this year just nothing came together. And then I started to realize, like, you know, everyone is just tired. Like, we're all just barely pulling through with everything. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to write what I feel. And so it was while in quarantine, actually, I just sat down in my dining room. Normally I like to like lock myself away, but it was in the middle of just madness, chaos. I had my headphones on and I just banged it out. And I was like, here are the albums I liked. And lo and behold, like once I started going and I was listening to, I always listen to the albums while I'm writing, and things kind of came to me. So there's really no theme. This is just what I think are the five best. And I think it's kind of surprised me once I really went through all the albums, what were the top five, because I wouldn't have guessed it before I sat down, what I ended up with.
Okay. So what did you end up with?
All right. So we'll start with number five. I have J. Cole and the Off Season. So this one was released May 14th. I believe we talked about this in A Hustle and Flows from the spring. And
I think we did.
You know, this one, so we won't have to belabor it too much, but this one, Cole, I think, is just an amazing artist. He's got a good sense of song. He's a great songwriter, so his songs are good. I think it was, like, all genuine, like, the content. You realize after you listen to a lot of albums, and you listen to one that's really about, you know, life and being young and black in America and, you know, all these, and you're like, oh, wow. This is actually genuine, heartfelt, soulful, all those kind of things. Real mature. I will say the first song, the 95 South, it's that's an incredible track. And I thought like, oh, this is going to be the whole album. It's going to be just this East Coast sounding boom bap, you know, just spitting bars on track. And I was like, oh, I'm here for this. And then, of course, it's all jazzy and sing song, you know, it's a Cole album. It's like what you expect, you know, but so it was a bit of a head fake, but overall I thought, you know, a really good effort. There's, you know, besides 95 South, the track, with 21 Savage is dope. Pride is the Devil, My Life. So like three or four really good songs that I liked. Solid, piece. It sounds bad to say, like, good background music, but this is kind of a good background music album. Like, you can kind of put it on, and it's always pleasant to listen to, even if you're not really listening to it. But that's also why it's not a number one or a number two on the list, because it doesn't really resonate in a way that makes you like stop what you're doing and just listen.
Okay. I'm digging on that one. That one's definitely like in my top five. I found it really enjoyable in a lot of the same ways that you did. You know, so yeah, I thought it was, I don't know, I would put it in amongst Cole's like top three albums, but this is definitely like knocking on that door.
Yeah. All right. So you want me to go one at a time or you want me to do the full list and then
we can go one at a time.
How do you want
to
do
one at a time?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we can go one at a time.
All right. All right, number four. Call Me If You Get Lost, Tyler, the Creator. And so this one was released June 25th. And this is one of those, it surprised me how much I enjoyed listening to this album because, you know, time is crazy in a pandemic, right? Like, I had forgotten this album was released in 2021 because I had listened to it a ton and then I just stopped and I just forgotten about it. And so when I revisited it in the last few months, it was just so refreshing to hear like a really great album, you know, well produced. He's actually rapping. He's not doing the alternative singing Frank Ocean thing. You know what I mean? And so when he's just like, hey, I want to make a rap album, it's really good. DJ Drama is like the narrator, and so it's got this really rough edge to it that I think provides a nice balance because Tyler is, he's random, right? Like he'll have just random stuff in his album, a skit that you're just like, what is this skit about? But Drama just coming in like, yeah, here we go, new stuff, you know, and you're just like, oh, okay, I'm listening to a rap album, you know what I mean? But yeah, clever wordplay, great melodies, overall really solid album. I think definitely my favorite Tyler, the Creator album. I'm not a big Tyler head, but this is, for me, my favorite of his. I was surprised when people said, no, you should really listen to it. And I was like, all right. And then once I did, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a good album.
Yeah, I think I was one of those people that hit you up like, hey, because I'm not a Tyler dude at all. Like, this is the first Tyler. I will fess up on air. I have no qualms about, like, this is the first Tyler album I've listened to all the way through ever. Ever. Like, he kind of came, I was kind of like a full-fledged adult when he dropped, and so a lot of his stuff kind of appealed to a younger hip-hop fan that demographic that I just kind of wasn't a part of, and so, like, the whole Odd Future thing just really didn't resonate with me. This one, though, is my number one for the year. Like, this is the one that, I felt like, and I think a part of it was the time when it hit, like, mid-summer, when the world was as open as it's been since March of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like,
living our best 2021 life.
Yes, this is a song that I play riding around and dropping my kids off at different things and going places. This is a song. These are the songs that I had in heavy rotation. You know, Rise, Corso, some of those are some of my favorites. Lumberjack, you know, Hot Wind, all those, you know, it's just a really, really great album. And just from the types of drums he used to different melodies that were involved, samples, it just hit me right where I needed to be hit, man. And it was definitely my kind of sound. And then his rapping was on point. So, like, I know I got a certain, like, sound that I really enjoy. And he definitely, like, captured that and just ran with it. And then the rapping was on point enough where it, like, didn't take away from what I was hearing musically and actually added to it. And so this is the first Tyler joint I ever really liked. And I like this one. Like, if this ain't his best, it's his best for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, people say Igor. I was like, it's fine. I had no desire to, like, listen to it over and over again. This one I put on a lot. And I think I'm like you. I probably played this one a bunch when I was riding around, going on runs, you know, whatever. Like, it's good. And it also has, like, just really good kind of, you know, album construction, right, where you have tracks and then you have, like, a skit that breaks it up and then it flows into the next one. And it, that's like a lost art form, you know, like even now some
absolutely.
Of the great albums are just song. And this one is actually an album. And so I always give that a little bit more props. To pull that off is really tough.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, having drama on there just took me back to like 2003. You know?
Having
DJ drama in there, just kind of yelling and doing the drama thing, it was just like, oh man, this is just great. Like it let me time travel a little bit in that way. And obviously, 2021 has been hard for everybody, so I needed that. I needed to be able to time travel and feel, you know, like I was 24, 25 again, rather than, you know, 40 and living in this.
and you, with your bad back, with your back calling, you telling
with
you like
bad knees,
I
bad
back.
Back.
You your good, your good back ain't coming back no more.
No more. So.
All right. So that was your number one. Okay. So that'll be interesting. I'll be curious to see what your other ones are. All right. So number three, this one is a bit of a cheat. It's a Certified Lover Boy by Aubrey Graham, better known as Drake, released the 3rd of September. But the caveat is I only listened to the full album maybe 1.5 times. I just couldn't do it. There's a lot of just, you know, emo singing tracks that I just can't stomach. So I took the tracks on it where he's actually rapping, which are 10 of the 21 tracks, and I put those in a playlist. And then I was like, let me just listen to this. And when I started listening to that, I was like, man, this is actually really good. You know what I mean? Like, this is actually a pretty good, there's you know, battle raps on this, there's introspective ones. I mean, you're just getting, you know, I wrote in the review, chip on my shoulder, Drake, right, who's like, oh, y'all sleeping on me, let me show y'all something. And, you know, and I thought he did a good job. So the Certified Lover Boy is number 3 is the rap EP. So just the 10 rap tracks on that, the other 11, I've literally probably only listened to one time, so I don't know them. And I'm Too Sexy barely made it. I was like, man, I guess this is rapping. So I put that one on there. But there were a couple where I was like, is this really a rap song? All right, it's good. So that one did number 3, and I try to be open-minded. I just love this. That playlist I probably played more than any of my other like playlists, and it was just because it was like, you know, You Only Live Twice, Champagne Poetry, like the opening track and the closing track, I think are just really good. I mean, just straight bars, paint a picture, flow. He's putting it, and then, you know, the time and place, like the 7 a.m. on Bridal Path. And there's just like 4 or 5 others that I thought were good. And I was like, all right, I can do this. So that one made my number 3, again, just the rap EP.
Yeah, I dig that. That one was 5 for me. J. Cole's was 3. Mm-hmm. J. Cole's was my 3.
Okay.
But the rapping on Drake's album, like 7 a.m., on Brittle Pass, to me, is probably Drake's best lyrical performance. Like I haven't ever heard him, one, sound that good, but then also have that many layers within his lyrics in one song.
Mm.
On top, I like the beat, I like the vibe of it, but I felt like that was his sharpest spitting that I've heard from Drake. And again, in my humble opinion, on some MC stuff, on some rappity rap stuff, that was the sharpest I've heard him just like get on a mic and just kill it. Not trying to, you know, dance around. That was just straightforward. I'm gonna punch you in the face right now with some lyrics. And so I enjoyed, in a similar way, I enjoyed the album for those moments. With every Drake album for me, like, the stuff that's not for me, I just skip because there's going to be a can full of things that are just not for me, and I'm okay with that. Here's a question I want to raise. you know, we talked about this a little bit with Jay-Z kind of, I think it was must have been like a slow news week or whatever, but somebody threw out there that Jay-Z kind of put it out there that, you know, nobody could do a versus with him.
Yeah.
You know, I dropped in the chat that, like, low-key, you know, the only guy that I would say could legitimately stand toe-to-toe with that man is Drake. And this album, to me, is a great example of what Drake does. And I think Jay-Z did this, I would say, from volume one all the way up to volume three. He did this really well, which was he mixed in the, like, big pop hits with the, like, hip-hop purist stuff. And he did them both really well, and well enough where he did the hip-hop purist stuff well enough where you wasn't mad at him when he did the other stuff. You know, the Can I Get Us and the Things That You Do and, you know, joints like that. Uh-huh. It's just like, okay, I know why he did that. He got a move unit.
Yeah.
But then he had the Ghettos and and all those other things. And I think Drake has also mastered that. You know, there was a little scuttle on the interwebs about Lil Wayne, and, like, I just don't think Wayne is that guy. And I wanted to get your opinion on that. Like, for me, and I know the youngins out there, Wayne's got as many hits or more than Jay-Z, yada, 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 this, that, and the other. But when I think about Wayne's hits, some of them aren't good songs. Like, I don't think Jay-Z has – if Jay-Z can go 40 songs with anybody, and there wouldn't be a single song that you would be like, that's a bad song, even though it was popular.
Yep.
And I don't know if Wayne could do that. I think Drake could. There may be some songs that I don't like, but I wouldn't say that they were, like, bad songs. Like, like Miss Officer, like, that was a hit for Wayne. Like, Miss Officer was a hit for Wayne.
Yeah.
That's a stupid song. That's just a dumb song.
So there's always
but
two
that
things.
Was a hit.
So oh, God. Yeah. No. I ended up doing a lot of the same thing with Drake I did with Wayne, which is, like, I would take a Carter album and be like, okay, I don't know what he was thinking on these three tracks, so let's just not listen to those. And then I would just listen to a boiled down version, and it was great. Like, Wayne makes some great 11-track LPs, EPs in his, like, 18-track LPs. I'm like, okay.
Right.
But to your point, and I think I agree with you, is we're talking 20 tracks, and the thing that always interests me with verses, and we've had a couple of, like, monster verses, right, like this year, is it's also about artists recognizing what their hits are and how to, like, bring it out. You know, like, there is – you realize the people who are MCs versus the people who are rappers. Like, Jada is an MC. Like, Jada knows how to move a crowd, what hits to play when, and Jay-Z is – MC, right? So Jay-Z is not only has the hits, but he's also going to, like, change the tempo, bring some safe stuff. He's, like, he's going to be just, you know, it's going to be incredible. So it's tough. Drake is probably the one that has, I think, the best sense of, okay, what am I going to do? The only issue is if it is, you know, 60% women in the crowd, Drake's going to be like, I can win this one. Just saying, you know what I mean? And then now you're just like, oh, okay. So I think I responded. I was like, you know, it depends on the judges. You know, if the judges are one sort of person, like, it's Drake would come close, but he'd lose. But if we're more mixed, as far as age, gender, people, Jay-Z would come out with, something from volume one, and people would be like so ghetto, and people would be like, oh, I mean, I think I've heard this a few times. Was this good? You're like, are you crazy? This shit shut down nightclubs for like 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they have just no idea, right? So it would be interesting. But I'm kind of with it. I don't think anybody's really seeing Jay, but Drake comes the closest. I don't think Wayne has a terrible sense of what to do. I've seen Wayne in concert, and Wayne does not know how to read a crowd. Wayne is, like, just in his own world, probably because he's high all the time. So I think he would F it up, and he would play something. He would waste two or three selections on a song that he loves that weren't really good, and he would lose people, and then he'd be like, oh, man, you have no room for error. Like, you have to go 20 for 20. You know,
yes.
Man, you can't go
yeah.
17 for 20. You're going to lose. So
yeah.
For those reasons, I think Drake is probably the closest one. I was thinking about Dre, but you know, so much of his stuff would be with other people. I mean, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, just stuff that he's rapped on.
I think Dre and Puff is a perfect match. I think Dre and Puff are a perfect match.
Yeah.
I think that one is where, you know, they did enough rapping, but they're going to, a lot of the battle is going to be them putting on things that they did for other people or with other people. And they both throw enough.
Yeah.
Nah.
Nah, I think I'm good. If it was like a, you know, Puffy and the Bad Boy Family, if he brought out the artists, great.
He would have to.
I do miss
he would have to.
Yeah, I do miss the DJ, the producer battles, like the RZA
yeah.
Premier one. That was one of my, because they are, you know, every producer is like a student of the game, and so
right.
they do. You're getting no bullshit. You're getting no braggadocio. You're just getting like, oh, I got one for you here. I got one for you, and then you're like, oh yeah. Man. So I would like to see a couple more of the producer battles moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I thought that part of it is what was early on was like the draw. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, I didn't know he did that. You know, oh, I didn't know he had a hand in that. Oh, he co-wrote that. You know what I mean? Where you have folks who were writers, producers, who you're like, oh, I didn't know Keith Sweat wrote that song.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so it was a bit of a history class, a music history class. For folks, because you kind of learned that, like, you know, these folks had their hands in a lot of joints that you ain't know. So yeah, that's a tangent, but I just wanted to pick your brain on that because we hadn't had a chance to chop it up around that. But I did.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Begrudgingly.
It was a realization I had to kind of force myself to come to as well. It wasn't something that I ran to. I was dragged there.
All right. So where were we? Number two. All right, we got two left. So number two was King's Disease 2, released 6th of August. This is Nas's follow-up from King's Disease. First one, of which I was very so-so on. I did not love King's Disease album. Got to several heated debates. One long-running debate with one of my boys, Snipes, who just could not understand why I didn't like the album. And I was like, just what are the three songs that you love to hear over and over and over again? And he played. I'm like, I don't like those songs. I don't know what to tell you. This one was, I think, just way better. And I write in the review that I think it really is just about the beats that he chose, making the song sound better. You know what I mean? I mean, it's the same Nas. He's kind of just rapping about the same stuff, kind of, I'm rich and I'm out here and I'm doing great things and I'm a rap legend and the rap game is this and the rap game is that. And I'm fine with that. I love that. But I felt like King's Disease was forced. And this one was just felt way, a little more upbeat, a little more authentic. And then there are, at least for me, at least three songs that I love. So Death Row East, I thought was great. EPMD2 was crazy. No one wants to say this, so I'll say it. Eminem murdered him on his own shit. I mean, was I the only one that heard that? No? Okay. And then the joint with Lauren, I thought was great. I thought Lauren was going to be singing, so I was like, it's going to be an Aruba. And then Lauren spit verses. And Lord kind of spit some serious verses. I was like, oh, man, this track is fire. So this one was great. I listen to this one a lot regularly. And there, there are some solid, solid Nas performances. And the songs are just, I think, better constructed.
Yeah, I agree on the comparison of KD1 to KD2 for sure. This one is better. It's just better beat selection, better songs. Yeah, I'm with you on KD1. I just wasn't digging it at all. Like, I actually got mad when I heard KD1, and then I think a little bit afterward, Big Sean's Detroit came out, and Hit-Boy was, I'm like, why didn't Nas get some of these beats? Does Hit-Boy not like Nas?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, why are you saving the best stuff for somebody else? But then you're like, no, you opened the catalog and Nas chose these beats? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was glad that kind of Nas kind of maybe read the tea leaves and was like, let me quick do a redo on that one, and came with KD2. It didn't make my list. This was just in my honorable mentions. I still dug it, but I had a couple of joints that I liked more than that.
Okay, that's good. I look forward to hearing that. And did you listen to? Did you get a chance to listen to? What's the joint he released like 3 days before the end of the year?
Magic. Magic, yeah.
Magic.
Yeah.
So I listened to Magic,
yeah.
Not a lot, but I was like, this sounds like KD2. I don't think it's going to change my mind much on where it goes. I didn't think it made it, you know, if I combined the two, I didn't think it was better than what I put number one. But I thought it was solid. It sounded like almost like the excluded tracks from KD2 that he put on this one. What were your thoughts?
Right. Yeah, that's what I felt like. I felt like this was kind of like, you know, like, oh, I had some pretty decent stuff on the cutting room floor. Let me go ahead and drop like a quick, like, you know, 5-song EP, you know, just to give folks something to bang to on Christmas. You know, that's one thing I do miss about just nowadays is me getting nostalgic. But I used to look forward to like giving my mom a list of like CDs and sending my mom to Sam Goody or Best Buy or wherever to go get, you know, the new DMX that dropped in the fourth quarter or the new Jay-Z that dropped in the fourth quarter, and just having that be under the tree for me. And I was always like, it was on. Like, didn't nobody need to say nothing to me for like a week because I was just going to be in my headphones. So I do miss those type of Christmas memories. So I felt like Nas kind of like threw that out there, just like, hey, unwrap this with your gifts. You know what I'm saying? Like old school, you know, you got a little something under the tree. Let me go ahead and hit you with something on Christmas Eve when ain't nobody else dropping nothing. It was all right. It was solid. It was nothing game changing or earth shattering for me either.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was cool to listen to while I was wrapping gifts.
Yeah. There you go. All right, so number one was Chomp 2 by Russ, which was released in December 8th. And this is probably the surprise pick for me, but it's for sure, I had to think about making sure I wasn't being a prisoner at the moment. I was like, okay, I like this, but it's because I listened to it last. But I think it's just better than every other album, or I liked it more than every other album I heard this year. And it was kind of two things that really stand out, and I talk about this in the review. First, the production on this album is effing crazy. It's crazy.
Bonkers.
Like, it's
bonkers.
It's Premier, Hit-Boy, Alchemist, High Tech, Mr. Port, like every track. And then Russ is a producer, right? So he's produced some, I mean, every song, you're just like, man, this song hits. Man, this song hits. And this is another thing I hate about, you know, so I'm a Spotify guy. And Spotify just does not make it easy to kind of just scroll through the credits. And that was always something I did, you know, open the jacket up. All right, who produced what? And so I always could kind of, as I was listening, and this one, I had to kind of click each one, and it's clunky. But when I saw this list, I was like, how did he get all these guys to do this? So musically, this album's crazy. And then every track, I mean, he's got a lot of really big name features, and Russ is rapping toe-to-toe with them on every single one. I have never listened to a full Russ album before this one. People were like, I chomped to with Russ. I was like, oh, I think I know some of his singles. Like, I had heard some of this, but I had low expectations. And I was like, yo, this is Jada on this track. This is Ghostface on this. This is Crit on this track. And Russ is very comfortable in between these guys and rapping his ass off. And I was just kind of astounded. It was really shocking. I was like, oh, normally I see a good album like this coming. I know it's coming. I'm waiting for it. This one, I had no idea about it. I've never heard of Russ 1. I still to this day haven't listened to the full thing. But I thought this album, I could not stop listening to it in December. I mean, I listened to this album. It came out, again, December 8th. I think I listened to it more than every other album except maybe The Plugs I Met Too. And that one is just because it was whenever I worked out, I would just put that on because that got me in the groove. But, yeah, I think this is kind of a classic. And the responses I got from people when they kind of read this was like, who is this? Who is this guy? What is this album? And I'm like, just wait. You're in for a surprise. So this was my number one spot, Chomp 2.
Yeah, I had this one at number four on mine, but I loved it. You know, I had CLB 2. And I kind of did what you did. So once you did it, I was like, I'm doing that too. Then once you did what you did with CLB, I was like, well, if I'm doing that too, then that's number, well, that's my number two. But in the same way that like Chomp 2, I was like, well, I ain't even hear Chomp 1, but Chomp 2 is gangster.
Yes. Yes.
Cause I'm with you. Like I saw, cause I think I follow Russ on Instagram. Oh no, it's Ninth Wonder. Ninth Wonder posted the track listing with all the producers, and I was like, because I've heard of Russ, but I ain't never been checking for Russ. And so I was like, really? All those cats work with Russ? Like, Russ got it like that? Like these cats is checking for him in that way? And so when Ninth posted it, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to check for it when it come out on Friday. It came out, and again, I was blown away. I mean, just straight blown away. Distance is my joint, like, and Russ just rides that one, like Russ kills that one, and he's on it with Ghost, and it's just, I mean, I was astounded and pleasantly surprised and extremely impressed, because it did come out of nowhere, like it was, again, I happened to be scrolling through Instagram and I saw Ninth post about it. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna check for that when it dropped, and then it dropped, and I had kind of forgot about it. Because, you know, I saw it like on a Wednesday or whatever, and then it dropped on Friday, and I kind of like fell off my radar. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I wanted to check this out. Let me check it out. And once I started playing it, man, I was stuck. I was like, I got to keep this running. You know, I probably ran it back like three times straight, you know, on my first listen. And, it definitely was one of the better projects of the year for sure. So that was – that's my – it came in four for me, for my top four. So that was – for me, it was Call Me If You Get Lost, CLB, Offseason, and then Russ. And then my fifth is one you didn't have on your list or even in your honorable mentions. And it's rapper Larry June, Orange Paint. If you get a chance to check it out, Cats Out of the Bay, real slick flow, real smooth. It just has a lot of different vibes to it, but it meshes well. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing we talked about with Tyler, that like ability to kind of like craft an album and not just be like a series of songs, but kind of have a flow and kind of a cohesiveness to it. This one definitely does. You know, he's got just a very, it's like he's got that kind of True School vibe to it. That, you know, you get from a Griselda, somebody like that, where it's sample heavy, but I mean, he's definitely a Bay Area player type. So it's just a good mix for me, and it just hits me right in my strike zone. It's right in the strike zone for me. So that's one I would encourage people, if you haven't checked Larry June, period. If you haven't gotten into Larry June, you need to start checking for him. And Orange Paint, he dropped that this year. Actually, it was like a week or two before. That's what I was listening to before Call Me Got Lost. Call Me If You Get Lost came out. And then, you know, I started listening to Call Me If You Get Lost. But, yeah, as I was kind of thinking, like, okay, so what are the ones what are other joints that maybe I like that, you know, and that one, I listened to that one again. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot how much I like this one. So that's one that will be in my top five for sure.
I don't know anything about Larry June. This is going to be Brandon. This is going to be top of the morning tomorrow. Check this one out.
All right. Well, let me know what you think. Let me know what you think.
All right, so honorable mentions. You mentioned that. So I went through those quick. So I already talked about the plugs I met to the Benny the Butcher joint, which is not as good as other joints. It's kind of a mixtape. It's got a mixtape feel, but it's still solid enough. And like I said, it's just short enough that I was like, okay, this is a great workout album. Do or Die 2, the long-awaited sequel from AZ. This is a bit of a nostalgia pick. Do or Die 1 came out when I was in college, and rather unique. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. Like, I love that song. Like, you put that song on right now, I tell everybody to shut up so I can listen to this joint. So I love AZ, but this album was good, but it was really slow. I mean, and just, it was, like, what's the way you say it? Like, it sounds like an old rapper, you know what I'm saying, versus, you know, old rapper today, you know?
Yeah.
So he was kind of still stuck with the firm Vegas gangster kind of vibe, which is fine, but it was like, man, this ain't really getting me going. And then two more, Richer Than I Ever Been, the Rick Ross joy. I love Rick. I mean, Rick is good. This one doesn't have – this is kind of his middle lane level of album. Like, it's good, it's solid, but it's not – amazing. There's probably three or four tracks that I really like on it. And then one kind of outlier, The House is Burning by Isaiah Rashad. One of my boys who lives out in Cali hit me up about this and was like, oh, you got to listen to this thing. So I was like, all right, I'll listen to it. And it's out there. It's kind of like, all right, where is this going? But you can tell that he's talented. And so there was enough in it that kind of kept me going. This was also one of those background albums. Like, I could play this one while I was doing something, and it was great musically, but I could kind of let it fade in the background because nothing really stood out too much for me. But this is also a solid album. And I didn't know this artist before listening to this either, but this one is quality too.
Yeah, the Isaiah Rashad joint is one I got put on to. I saw a list somewhere. I can't remember who posted it, where I saw it, but it was one of the albums, like, if you haven't heard this album this year, you're sleeping. So I checked it, and I had a very similar assessment, was that musically, kid's got a great ear. The young man's got a really good ear musically. Lyrically, wasn't nothing that, like, stood out to me, but also nothing that, like, turned me off. So, again, it was definitely something that I got all the way through in one listen. I didn't, like, there was no, like, moments where I was like, oh, man, I can't listen to another song. You know, like, it flowed, and I was able to get through all of it, and I've gone back to it a couple of times just to, like, you know, check it again and see if there was anything I missed. So he's on my radar now, and I'll be checking for his next joint to see if there's some consistency and how he grows. But definitely piqued my interest.
So what are your honorable mentions?
So my honorable mentions, Do or Die was definitely in it. KD2 is definitely in there. For me, what else do I got on here? Benny's was kind of mixtape-ish for me. Rich Forever, I did enjoy. And the same, like, I feel like Rick has gotten into a space where, like, he doesn't have the big hits anymore. And so I think, like, he still has consistent good songs on his albums. And I think the difference between the last couple albums he's dropped and the previous ones that maybe people hold in higher regard are the previous albums had, like, major, major hits on them. And the last couple have had the good songs without, like, the major, like, standout hits that, like, really make it, like, a moment. as far as it being a project. And I think that's how I kind of felt about that one. Where's the one? Let me look this up real quick. Because I think I'm saying it right. Mac Hami, Young Cat, Pray for Haiti. If you haven't checked that one out, he's a little all over the place. Again, a bit Griselda-ish as far as like a lot of samples, no drums type deal. But it's a Haitian cat, just a different vibe to it. I really liked it. Real artistic, but still in the streets, like still very street grounded. Mac Hami, Pray for Haiti. That's another one that was in my honorable mentions.
Yeah, and so I'll do a quick list of songs that people swore by that I was like, no. So one was, let's see, or list that I read and saw people on it. So another near nostalgic one, Wreckage Vanner, the Styles P and Havoc album.
Yeah.
That one is, I like it, but I know it's because this is kind of my, this is my 90s, like, elixir. I was like, I can't in good conscience say, like, oh, y'all got to check. I was like, no, if you're 40, yes. But,
that's us.
I was like, no.
I'll see you on that one. That one I checked that one. I was like, yeah, this is for me.
Like, I appreciate that it's big because there's all these now, like, these collabs that are happening. I was like, man, if this would have happened in 2002, this thing would have been crazy. I was like, I'll take it in 2021, but, you know, Styles and Havoc coming together would be crazy. French Montana's album, and I'll put album in quotes, it's anytime you are rapping on another track, like just the instrumental of a complete other song, I can't call it an album. That's a mixtape. I mean, that's a mixtape.
Yeah.
I mean, doing straight rapping to, like, Big Pun beats. I'm like, you know, the track is dope, but no. So that one didn't make it. And then, of course, the elephant in the room is Donda. I guess we should take, like, a minute. I did not like, well, I'll be even shorter than that. I didn't like this album. This album is a hot mess. And all the fanfare that Kanye kind of put around it and the time, and I was like, I don't know what you'd spend all that time doing, living in the stadium. But this album is just, I don't know what it is. I think I like, what's the one track? There's like one track that I like. I can't even think about it right now. There's like one track that I like. I was like, oh, this is good. I think it was the one that was actually getting airplay for a while. Everything else, this is just
the one with the Weeknd and Lil Baby, probably. I don't know.
Yes,
Something about a hurricane.
So, but this album is not, it's not good to me. It's also an hour and 48 minutes. It's banana. And I go, what? This is a 2-hour album? Dude, you crazy? And so, no. So Donda is not in my top five, nor my honorable mentions. I kind of forgot about it. 2 weeks after it dropped, I was like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm with you. Like, before you brought it up now, I didn't even consider it. I honestly did not consider Donda at all. I was like, oh, hell no, I forgot Donda. Like, I really just had a moment.
Like, Kanye dropped an album this year. Yeah.
So that takes me back to my assessment of the album, though, because my wife was asking me, like, you're a Kanye fan. Why don't you like this album? And I was like, because Kanye sucks on it. Like, I just feel like if I'm listening to that album, I'm listening for the guest appearances more than anything. You know what I mean? Like, I just haven't been interested. I mean, he is slowly inching to the box that Common lives in for me right now, where it's like, I really don't want to hear another
one. Oh, no.
He's getting there, man. Like, he is slowly inching himself into the box. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we good, man. We had a good run. Let's just live off the memories, bro. Just off the memories. I don't need no more music from you,
not
man.
The Common box. Oh, that makes him do a windmill still.
That's good for him. Good for him. That is actually impressive, given all of our ages and where he's at, that he can still do that. Because the things that I used to be able to do back in the day, I can do very little of them. So it's all good, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this is when for me, when Kanye starts to get into like Kanye mode and like promote, I'm always like, okay, the larger the promotion effort, the whacker it's going to be in my opinion. because if it's dope, just drop it. Like if it's dope, just drop it. Like what's with all of the theatrics? And I get, you know, the performance art of it all. But like if it's dope, just drop it. And it's music. And so just let the music stand on its own. And so much of what he does is about the spectacle around and the performance art piece of, and the music is kind of just a entree into his performance art world.
It's an afterthought.
That's cool, but
yeah.
Yeah. And so for me it's just like this is just a background in a larger kind of painting you're trying to, you know, a portrait you're trying to paint, and I'm here for the music, and if the music ain't good, I'm out. You know, I listened to it a couple of times. I don't even think I got all the way through it because it is long as hell.
No, definitely. I forced myself to go through it because I was like, oh, maybe there'll be a good track at the back, and then once I finished it one time, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I don't have to listen to this again.
Yeah, like I never felt compelled to go back and listen to anything on it. And if you ain't compelling me to go back, like I said, till you just brought it up right now, I totally forgot about it. Like I will own that 100%. Like I was like, oh, Donda did come out. That did happen.
Yeah. And that's the worst, worst, right? Because the love and the hate, but when you're irrelevant, that's the true sign. Of the whole thing. So I had a few comments. People responded to me on social media. And I think I mentioned one. So Ajane from Brooklyn. I've legit never heard of this person, Russ. Okay, we'll listen today. I thought CLB was meh and J. Cole shit was fire. Sidebar, I'm old. So someone else is going to listen to Russ. Sheldon from Allentown. He hit me up. He was surprised at how good Russ's album was. He was disappointed in Ross's, not his best work. Didn't think he'd even deserved an honorable mention. Danielle, Chapel Hill, the homie Ron Away, all day yes to Nas and KD too. So she liked KD too. And then last one, Zacher from Maryland. I respect you giving Drake his flowers. Oh, man. That almost makes me want to take a... Take it off the list.
I take it all back.
But I'll stand by.
Take it all back.
So overall, I think people were, I haven't seen any major like, you left out this, you left out that, but I'm sure we'll kind of get into it. And I have no idea about what's dropping in 2022. So, you know, I'm just going to kind of wait and see.
I mean, some people might gripe about the Migos, right? That was 2021, right? The Migos?
Oh, Migos 3? Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't
it? No, I listened to that.
Is it?
That was not good. That was not good. I mean, no, I should say, that was an average Migos album. It was, in my view, not as good as, what was the best one? Was it the second one? I can't even remember now. But yeah, it was meh. It's crazy because they are originators of the sound, but now you're like, man, this sounds like all the new guys that you've inspired all sound like you. So now your album sounds regular. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound special.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, their popularity is almost hurt them.
I think it actually has because it's just like, okay, yeah, I get it, you guys. Because, like, they're the originators of that style, but I wouldn't say they're the best at it.
yeah.
If that makes sense. And so it's like, I've heard people do you better than you.
Yeah,
It's like J. Cole said, like, you might see somebody else do it, but they ain't going to do it as good as I do it.
and that's exactly the point. Migos is... I mean, they made this album. They're going to make their money, but I'd be surprised if they come up with something that really kind of makes people say, like, yo, this is crazy. I think that baton has kind of been passed, and now there are guys who can do the Migos and then switch styles and do something else. And, you know, they can switch back and forth. And it's like, oh,
right.
That's even better. So that's all right. They rich. They good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. They're good. They're rich. They're famous. They're all right. They'll figure out a new income stream. They'll develop a new revenue stream. No doubt about it.
An app or something. I don't know. You see cat rappers are doing they Dre and Busta Rhymes did the soundtrack for what's that?
GTA or whatever.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto, yeah.
And so I followed him always... so much. He's doing the next thing, but it was like the promotion was like an album. I thought the album was coming out. I was like, oh, they did the music for the game. I was like, oh, man. All right. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, but Dre's always figuring out a different way to get bread. Always.
Originator. He's an originator. About Dre's a genius.
Yeah.
He's only half as rich as he was a year ago, but he's still a genius.
That's the way those situations go. That's the way those situations go. I remember Eddie Murphy wrong.
Yeah.
He said, "I want half. I want half."
Yeah. Eddie.
Eddie,
man.
I want half.
Yeah. Any other party shots? Anything that you think we miss?
I don't think so, man. I think you jog my memory of Donda. I probably jog your memory of Amigos. again, two albums that probably would have made lists, but they did not make ours. That's for sure. So yeah, I think we're good. My man Currency, who I always check for, drop Pilot Talk 4. It's okay.
Mm.
I've been riding with Currency since the beginning, and he's prolific if nothing else. He puts out a lot of music, and I feel like he's kind of in a space where he's producing a lot, but he's not breaking new ground. So we'll see where that goes.
I mean, you only get so much time. I mean, this is why we can take rappers like, Busta Rhymes and Ghostface for granted, but it's like, do you know how hard it is, Nas? Do you know how hard it is to be 30 years in and rapping?
Yeah.
Rapping for 30 years? And be successful at it, that's difficult, man. And so, when people are like, oh, I have an album, and I'm like, oh, man, like Redman has a new album. I love Redman. I listen to Redman's album. I'm like, man, I think it's over, dude. I think we should just stop making albums. You know what I mean? Like, I think we should just stop doing it.
I think I got a box over here. I need you to go stand in it.
I'm not putting them in the common room yet, but it's getting there where I'm just like, oh, no. Like, he releases something, and I'm like, oh, man. The video is just him smacking people, and I think the song is like, I'll smack the shit out you. It's like, that's the name of the song. I'm just like, oh, man. Okay.
Oh, wow.
He's like smacking women. And, in 1993, you could do this. 2021, Red, bro, what are you doing? So.
Yeah. And you're like 50. Come on, Patrick. Come on, Finan. You could come up with something better to rap about.
No. Or just stop rapping. Just move to the next thing. So I guess I'm going to hold this. The cat that actually put a battery in my back was Mad Skills or Skills now. He does his wrap up. And people were kind of like, oh, you got to eat. But no, I'm not going to do it. And then he just did one. Kind of just posted on Instagram. And, he was kind of like, when people were begging him for it, he was like, yeah, I'm just doing other stuff now. Like, I'm not a rapper anymore. I don't really rap. He's produced, he's a DJ. He did that joint for Jay-Z's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was like genius level. Have you seen this, that video?
No, I haven't seen it.
So, the video is like a bunch of people coming in, doing his lyrics from different songs, and it's like, and his daughter, and like David Letterman, like it's crazy. And like Skills wrote it, like put it together in like a couple days.
Okay.
He posted a video about him writing it. And it's like, that's what Skills should be doing now. You know what I mean? Like Skills should be like, hey, I'm going to put this thing together for the Grammys or whatever. Like, but do I need to be putting together a 15-track album at 50 years old? No, not really. I'm fine with him not doing that, So that's, I think, kind of where I'm. So I shout out to Skills for, like, just evolving in a way and hopefully showing some of those in his peer group that, like, okay, there's honor in transitioning to this next mode. And you shouldn't feel like, I can get back in the booth, make an album, I can do it. Or you can do something else.
Yeah. Or.
Yeah.
Yes, even the deadliest samurais hang up their swords, man. Just
exactly.
Hang those things up, man.
Yeah.
Even Vince Carter had to take the sneaks off, man.
UNC legend? What'd you say? UNC legend, Vince
Carter?
Yeah. I'm going to see him on campus soon, one of these days. Yeah, I like how you tied it all in. Man, it's wild. These guys be on campus, man. They just be around. Oh, Antoine James is. Oh, Vince Carter. I was like, oh, these guys should be coming through. This is going to be good.
I can imagine. You know, best we get around here is a Devin Harris sighting, maybe. I see Rashard Griffith a lot. Rashard's a cool dude.
Oh,
so right. I don't mind that.
Okay.
Yeah, we work at the same gym.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Kaminsky coming back?
He's different. I don't need to be on campus that hard. I'd have to probably go down there and like be at some place.
You gotta find the bars.
People.
You gotta find the bars.
Yeah.
In the hood, just be like, oh, that's what Kaminsky is.
Yeah. So, but yeah, man, this has been super dope, man. As always. So, folks out there, make sure you check realsportsguys.com so you can check the review, check our Twitters. We'll be putting it out there for you to check in. And if you have opinions, hit up my man Say Cool and drop
get
him a
me.
Line on Twitter. Yeah, get at him.
I'm not above arguing with strangers on Twitter. I'm not above it. I will do it. I'm in quarantine. What else am I going to do?
About this.
Yeah.
about
this. About this. Yeah, don't come to me about vaccine stuff. I'm not going to argue with you on
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk to you about that. We good. Whatever you think is just what you need to think. I'm not going to change your mind. You're not going to change my mind. We all good. Yeah, that's what I tell people all the time, man. It's about what you're willing to go to bat for, man. You can't be out here arguing about everything, though.
No. Life's too short.
Absolutely. Well, that wraps it up for this edition of Hustle and Flows. Make sure you check us out when we come back again. We try to do it like quarterly, but again, life, 2021, you know, the flu Rona, Omarion, whatever comes next, you know, it's remixes on the way.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The tunnel just seems to keep getting longer. It's like those horror movies. Where, you know,
hey man, don't get dark on me at the end, man. We good. Don't get dark on me at the end. Come on. We gonna be all right.
The hallway extends.
We gonna get like 5 fire albums in the first quarter. We're gonna be back in like a month, ready to chat. Let's do it.
There we go. Let's do it. All right, my brother. Great time again, man, and peace.
All right, later.
All right, man.